Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Anthony Davis is creeping towards a return, maybe. And is the Lakers supporting cast better than it gets credit for? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. It's always free. It's never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. And today you can see that Andy is appearing on his cell phone in a tiny rectangle because all the power is out at his house. So we're improvising here.
Yeah, apparently somebody hit a light post near our house and took out basically just the power for the grid of our block. So just perfectly awful luck here. So like you said, trying to improvise it before it becomes too dark and we simply can't do this show at all.
All right. So a few things that we didn't get to yesterday on the show as we celebrated Schroeder knocked. Dennis Schroeder with a massive game that helped give the Lakers a win over Miami, a surprising win over Miami, pushed him up to 17 wins and only, Andy, a game now out of the 10 spot, the magic 10 spot that qualifies you for at least some form of postseason play. It's kind of sort of at least getting a little bit better in regards to that. It feels a little more comfortable, like, hey, they really do have a chance to bust into that top 10 without moving heaven and earth to do it.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, and this is both about where they stand for that 10 spot or higher, but also just more broadly speaking in the entire Western Conference and thinking about what the Lakers should be doing between now and the deadline. I was looking over the standings today, and I know we've talked a lot about how the West has been cooperating for the Lakers, and, you know, they've lost remarkably little ground for a team that's been below 500 the entire season. You know, typically multiple games below 500. I noticed looking over the standings, the Lakers have a losing record against teams below 500. They have a well above 500 against teams that are below 500. We've talked about before. That's something you look for teams to get in the playoffs to do. They beat up on subpar competition. But in looking at the Lakers' record against teams below 500, I noticed that other than the top four seeds in the West, every team in the West has a record below 500 against teams above 500. So the reason I bring that up is just like it maybe speaks to the idea that the Lakers actually are closer to competitive this one particular year in the West than it's often seemed, despite their record, just because if you compare them against the rest of the conference, again, other than the top four seeds, they are losing at basically the same clip against quality competition as the rest of the conference.
Yeah, and this is, you know, heck, we might as well just start here and then go into it, you know, kind of go back. And we'll the news, we haven't had a chance really to talk about Anthony Davis and his recovery and news coming out earlier this week about that. We didn't get to it last night because for Thursday's show, because we were talking about the game and we were talking to our guest, John Nichols, AKA LeJethro Jenkins. So if you haven't heard that, go back and check it out. But you know, like the Lakers at 17 and 21, I should say, going into tonight's game against Atlanta, that's not good, but they started 2-10 and, you know, so that means they're 15-11 since then. 15-11 as a winning percentage puts them kind of with, like you say, though, that middle tier of teams, Mavericks, the Kings, the Clippers, that are a few games over 500. And it's the stat you're pointing out is not unusual where, you know, teams struggle against teams that are over 500, particularly as you get closer to teams that are near 500 themselves. But it does indicate that once you get past the Nuggets, who the Lakers have beaten, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans. You know, Dallas is starting to play really well. They've won 7 in a row, at least as we record on Thursday afternoon. You know, but once you get past that, it's still a pretty soft and squishy middle that the Lakers have shown they can play with. So it does beg the question of just how good they are. And that starts, I guess, with the return of AD. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting, other people reporting, Darvin Ham talked about it himself, that, you know, things are going the way that the Lakers would want it to. They saw what they wanted to see on the newest MRI for Davis, and Woj letting people know that AD is moving towards a return to the court where, you know, you're starting to run. Maybe then you jump. And after that, we'll see how it goes. So at the very least, the doomsday scenario is about it being like February, late February, post-trade deadline. It you can cross your fingers, Andy, and hope he's back like people were hoping mid to late January.
I still need to see it to believe it. Like, I need to see more tangible evidence of him ramping up, getting closer, because, you know, they may have avoided the worst case scenarios in terms of either out for the season or the worst version of stress injuries, navicular bone issues, bone spurs, all that stuff. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's being paced in a way that's ideal for the Lakers this season. And just given AD's injury history, I need to see it. Like you, I'm glad to hear that the worst case scenario seemed to have been avoided. And if nothing else, it seems like if there's going to be surgery involved, it's going to end up happening in the offseason. It's just really difficult to ever look at the glass half full version of an injury with Anthony Davis, just because it seems like the glass is always half empty rounding up when it comes to him. And just,
but the glass is usually broken. That's the problem.
Right. But, you know, if nothing else, maybe there is a sense of optimism that can fuel the team and keep them going and still feeling like they have a sense of purpose with AD out, with Lonnie Walker, you know, going from dealing with that bruised tailbone to now dealing with a knee injury. And, you know, when exactly he's going to play again is up in the air. Troy Brown left the game against Miami with a quad strain. We have no update yet on how much time he'll end up missing, but I'm guessing it's going to be at least a few games. So you see all this stuff happening. You need a certain amount of resolve to get through it. And look, that resolve was on display against Miami on Wednesday. I mean, they went up against a Heat team that was fully staffed and they beat them. And by the way, too, you know, Brian, we've talked before about the opportunities that the Lakers have lost, you know, in games that they've blown down the stretch, you know, whether against high-end teams that they were pulling out something big, or, you know, Charlotte in crypto, things like that. And those are the games you think about if the Lakers miss the playoffs. If the Lakers end up making the playoffs, this Miami win is going to be a game you remember. Like, that's sure. going to be seen as a pivotal game.
Right. That game, the Matt Ryan Miracle 3, you know, against the Pelicans, like all of those things, I look at it more as a, the scales of Lady Justice, so to speak, you know, like, where are they? And the Lakers have still given away more than they've stolen. But yeah, they claw, at the very least, they clawed one back. We don't know yet about LeBron. LeBron was sick on Wednesday. Generally not sick two games in a row, but we'll see what happens with that on Friday night. We haven't gotten an update yet. Again, we have to record before it gets dark and Andy can't see anymore. He has no electricity.
No, really, you can't see me. I'd be able to do the show. It would be
but you'd be doing it in the dark.
Right. But I could still do it. Technically, I could.
You are a professional. You. That is true. You can podcast in the dark.
Right. It's for the viewing audience. I'm trying to give them the full experience of this show, particularly for the people watching on YouTube.
Right. You have to show them the moneymaker.
Exactly.
The other part of this, let's assume Anthony Davis comes back. Let's assume, in the next 10 to 15 days. Just for the sake of argument, we'll have that. We'll lay that as the baseline. Let's assume LeBron isn't down with mono or something like that. And get to the question then that we presented in the open, which is this supporting cast, the group that won the game for the Lakers last night? That game was, or on Wednesday, that was all supporting cast. There was nothing in there but supporting cast. Is that group better than it's getting credit for? And we'll answer that question next. All right. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. Don't I know that? That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs, why I am checking out LinkedIn Jobs to see if I can find some improved team members. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, value, experiences, and electricity at their houses to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you attract quality, qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools, and they go beyond a resume's data by using insights from your job post company and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications, all in one platform. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So go to LinkedIn Jobs. It helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. You post your first job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your first job for free. Terms and conditions apply. So speaking of the supporting cast, and we'll get into this in-depth conversation here in a second about just what it is the Lakers have behind LeBron and AD, and I guess Russ, although I think Russ is really part of that supporting cast conversation at this point. Some waves were made, Andy, Thursday when the NBA released its first round of All-Star balloting. No surprise, in the Western Conference, in the front court, LeBron James leads everyone. He leads all vote getters everywhere. Actually, now that I'm looking at it, he is slightly ahead of Kevin Durant in the Eastern Conference. Anthony Davis, despite the injury, is third. Again, people just a lot of times vote for names. But among the guards, number nine, Austin Reeves. How about that?
I really feel like him coming in ninth in the first balloting for guards, this was really the day Austin Reeves became Alex Caruso. Because you remember, like, that happened with AC for a couple of years. Once you become a fan favorite with the Lakers, boy, you got yourself a real chance at a showing in the All-Star voting. And Reeves is having a nice season, but let's be honest, he ain't an All-Star.
Oh, it's not that nice. No. It's no.
But again, you become a plucky fan favorite among Laker fans with that base, you're going to get yourself some votes.
Yeah, and let it be said, while there is certainly no planet I am aware of that Austin Reeves on which Austin Reeves is an All-Star, I don't care. Like, if some, and like, let's also note, he is way behind. Like, what how many guards get in? It's like the top three or something like that get voted in or whatever it is.
Two get voted in, and then the rest is selected by the coach. Or
all right, so
like a combination of the coach and some other vote split.
Right. So for all the purists and absolutists who are freaking out because Austin Reeves is ninth in voting, if only the top two get voted in, he's about 2.1 million votes behind Luka Doncic, who has an entire nation behind him in addition to the city of Dallas. So, okay, stop freaking out. He's not going to be elected to the All-Star team. That said, if it could be done, if we could figure out a way to get Austin Reeves into the All-Star game through the vote, I'm here for it. I don't care. It's fine with me.
I mean, look, you can't open up something to make it one big popularity contest, then get upset when it becomes one big popularity contest. I mean, this is a big pageant. And while I understand that for for all these players, this can become a matter of money because there can be financial ties, you know, and incentives in your contract. And, you know, you could lead to guys who are legitimately deserving to be in the All-Star game losing out on
one person. Money. One person would not make it.
Right. So, I mean, in that sense, I can understand. And, you know, I guess, you know, when you think about All-Star appearances, when you start to sort out the greats among the greats, yeah, I mean, every single appearance counts. But at the end of the day, I tend to be like, whoever can make this game as entertaining as possible, which really to me would be my reason not to put Austin Reaves in there. Because, but let's be honest, Austin Reaves, in terms of pure entertainment value, once you get past the I guess the ironic hilarity of him being in there, he's not bringing much to the table. Like,
no. He got some aesthetics of a guy who, again, looks like he was central casting from Hoosiers. But, yeah, you know, he's not going to provide the razzle-dazzle that some of the other guys might. Although, he is pretty slick with the ball and with the passing. And if you need really good inbound passing at the All-Star game, Austin Reaves, clearly your man.
Never need good inbounding at the All-Star game. Russell Westbrook, by the way, we should make a note, sixth. Thematic, yeah. He is sixth among Western Conference guards.
448,000 votes to Austin Reaves, 144,000. So shine on, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be an All-Star either, and nor should he be. But yeah, it's still nice to be up there in the voting. But, you know, whether you're talking about Reaves, who has obviously been very solid this year for the Lakers, Thomas Bryant, who has been fantastic, particularly over the stretch without Anthony Davis, playing extremely efficient basketball, finishing at the rim, rebounding better than he has really throughout his career. Not a rim protector. I think he's got like two blocks in the last, you know, 10 games or something. It's not what he does. But from an offensive standpoint, he's fulfilling everything the Lakers could possibly ask of him and more. And with incredible efficiency, Dennis Schroeder put up 32 in this win. And, you know, you asked the question, like, whether you think this indicates that the supporting cast for the Lakers might be a little bit better than it's getting credit for. Where do you come down on that?
I think in certain respects, yes, because early on, often impressions are made very early. I think early on, a lot of guys were not playing as well as they could. Mm-hmm. And certain guys like Thomas Bryant and Dennis Schroeder and, you know, for three or four games, Troy Brown, they were out. So the supporting cast was made up more of, say, like Kendrick Nunn, who is out of the rotation, or Damian Jones, who is out of the rotation. So early on, we started to see, we saw a version of the supporting cast and Russell Westbrook starting that just wasn't aligned as well as what we have now. And, you know, we mentioned they're 15 and 11 since the 2-10 start. That can't happen without the supporting cast playing on balance collectively better, because they've missed their stars a lot during that 15-11 period. So by definition, the supporting cast has to have gotten better as the season has gone along.
Yeah.
I don't think, if you're asking me if I think they're underrated in the sense that this is a much more high-powered group with a higher ceiling than they're seen, I'd say the answer is no. If you're asking me if I think they can be more functional and productive than certainly what we saw in the beginning of the season when the team was at its worst, not only do I believe that, I used to say that. I used to say these, I don't care if you got a lot.
Yeah, there was no way mathematically the team was going to continue shooting 22% from 3-point range, but, you know, as an example of that. Like,
well, I mean,
the supporting cast was going to shoot the ball better than that because they're professional basketball players who are going to shoot better than that.
Well, I mean, I used to say earlier on, like, even through the prism of guys who are there as mid-level players or veterans minimum players, you know, with the exception of Russ and Patrick Beverley, I'm like, some of these guys are underperforming through that prism. Like, they can and need to be better. And a lot of them have gotten better. I think they've gotten more comfortable with each other. And if nothing else, maybe they can be better for LeBron and AD when those guys are all back. And if nothing else, we see what's happened with them when they're empowered a little more, because Darvin Ham has no other choice than to do that.
I think you've kind of framed it properly. There's a difference between as bad as they looked at the beginning of the year and good. So what that means for putting the team together and, like, you know, what might be available out there, how much it really gets to the question of how much of a boost do they need to be in order to be competitive? Because there is some growing debate on just how much help this team needs. So let's do that next. But first, BetOnline is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to the college football championship to basketball to the World Cup. We got it all at BetOnline. And if you love sports podcasts, which obviously you do, you can even find those at BetOnline. We're always fastest, and it's always the easiest way to get your betting info. So head on to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. The success, Andy, that the Lakers have had, between Wednesday, which obviously gets people fired up, and they've won now, what is it, 4 or 5? And like I said, 15 and 11 since that god awful 2-10 start. They survived a December that, quite frankly, the record could have been significantly better. A lot of that boost came with AD playing like he was. And then LeBron has just been MVP caliber himself since the AD injury. So, you're playing with an elite player, or at times two elite players, to make some of this progress. But there does seem to be, some chatter out there, as, a lot of people, maybe they're just optimists around this team, thinking that, okay, you don't need the massive trade for a player of Miles Turner's caliber, borderline all-star in the Eastern Conference this year, or, Buddy Hield, or, somebody like that, a smaller amount of help, maybe stuff that doesn't even cost you all of your big things, could be enough to make this team dangerous, get them into the playoffs, and make them dangerous in the postseason. It's hard to know sometimes whether or not people are really stretching for optimism or if the opportunity is really there.
That feels ambitious to me. I think there's enough here where if LeBron and AD are both healthy, they can, again, be more competitive than they've been for the most part during the first half of this season. Mm-hmm. But if you're asking me, do they have enough here as currently constructed to be an actual playoff force? I think no, because as great as LeBron and AD can be together, and at times as they've played this season, we've mentioned both of them at times have put up MVP production, the gap between those two and Russ, or whoever you would consider the third best player on this team, I think is more pronounced than what's typical for the top two players on legit contending teams and whoever is number three. And then more importantly, once you start getting player four, player five, player six, I think the total overall talent discrepancy is going to start shining through. So I think if you actually are looking to make some noise, you would probably have to make a deal that is closer to Miles Turner than, say, Alec Burks or Cam Reddish or something like that.
Well, definitely not Cam Reddish.
Right. But what I would say, though, is this team, if nothing else, is maybe making it seem more worth doing the type of deal that we've talked about before that really is more about next season and creating next season's team now, and you play with this version of next season's team now, hope it can stay healthy enough, but you're trying to give yourself a fighting version fighting version of yourself for this year and hopefully the playoffs, but it's really about next year. You know,
you mean like so you can hit the ground running? Because like it's an interesting. I don't always agree with the way that you frame that, because it's you're creating the same, essentially the same group. You know, you tweak it on the margins, you use your exceptions and all that kind of stuff. But like you're just creating next year's team this year. So you mean that like in the sense of having the opportunity to develop chemistry, build a rhythm and all that kind of stuff. So not everybody's wearing name tags in training camp next year.
Yeah. I mean, in part because I don't know if this season is too far gone to truly save in terms of like a deep playoff run, but also this team is too far behind the eight ball that you would look to sacrifice most or if all of your trade chips for guys that won't be here next year.
Look, you know, there's no guarantee. If you trade for Miles Turner, there's no guarantee he's back next year, but obviously there would be incentives to re-sign him. There isn't a trade out there probably where you would trade the first rounders for something that doesn't create either strong incentives like a Turner thing, or just you have a guy who's on a longer term contract. I don't think that trade exists. So where you're really giving up Westbrook in the first rounders. But
there's also the version of a trade that's smaller, like we've talked about before, where you bring in like an Alec Burks or you bring in, you know, a Josh Richardson or someone like that.
Right. But those are more for second round picks.
Right. But I don't think I don't think that type of trade is really going to make a difference. That's my point is I think in order to really do something with this year's team, it's going to require a bigger trade. You said before that you've heard some people wonder whether or not really that much is needed in the first place. I would say that much is needed if you're really going to do something this season.
Right. I mean, you know, and you can still have the debate about whether or not what you can acquire is going to make you good enough next year too, which is really, I think, what's been holding back the Lakers is this hope that they can create a team for next year that will somehow be able to vault themselves back into the top of contention. It's an interesting thing. Like when you look at the supporting cast and how much help they need, I mean, I think somebody like Alec Burks would be a nice fit. Richardson, we talked about the other day, I think, but I still don't understand the infatuation with Cam Reddish. I don't get it. I don't think I ever will.
He's great in the clutch, Brian.
Is he? Is he?
Well, he is great in the clutch.
Yeah, I get. Oh, I see what you're getting at. But
he's great, bro. He's a clutch.
I know. I follow you. I see what you're doing there. But there are even fans who
Rich
seem to think
Paul reps him, Brian.
there are even Paul fans who seem to think that Cameron. Like we keep getting these things on the Locked On Lakers YouTube page. I was scrolling through it today, and it was more of it like, you know, Cam Reddish is like an addition that can make a difference for them. I just don't see it. And it can't be Rich Paul just leaving names and like leaving comments under a burner account, like flip-flopping between two or three YouTube profiles just to leave comments on our page. I'd like to think he's busier than that.
If he's not, come on the show, Rich. Open
yeah, please.
Invitation.
Just lobby
We'd
for
love
him
to
yourself.
We will stop making every single clutch joke. We'll take them all back if you'll come on.
For at least 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But like you look at this question of the supporting cast, it's a great sort of installment of the debate between the value of depth in the regular season versus the value of depth in the playoffs, the value of star talent in the regular season versus the value of star talent in the playoffs. I tend to think that star talent is getting less important and depth is getting more important in the playoffs because teams are so good at scouting, because the quality of depth, when you say your seventh player, like a lot of times that sixth, seventh guy on a you know really good team is an exceptionally good player, is well above average, is a guy with skills that the seventh best player didn't used to have 15, 20, 30 years ago. I think you're getting about as much right now from Thomas Bryant as you could reasonably expect to get. I don't think.
Yeah.
And obviously his impact goes down a little bit when Anthony Davis is healthy.
No, but he's been good.
He's been great. I don't mean this as a criticism.
No, I know you don't.
I think Schroeder is kind of doing what Dennis Schroeder does, which is you have him, one of the benefits of having him, and we saw it on Wednesday, is he is capable of putting up 30 a night, like in a night where you need it. It's not always going to happen, but it's there. The question marks become, you know, somebody like Pat Beverly, who was terrible at the beginning of the season, has gotten better since the season went along. Troy Brown is somebody who sort of ebbed and flowed. You know, Lonnie Walker, his impact, particularly defensively, was really, no pun intended, tailing off before the tailbone injury. His net rating has dropped considerably despite some still decent offensive numbers. There's still a level of consistency that the Lakers are going to need from this group that I don't entirely think they're capable of as a collective. But I have to admit, the level that LeBron and AD have played at this year really make me want to see what happens if you drop those guys into a seven-game series and you can tell me they're going to play at this level. Yeah. Like, I don't know what would happen. I'm not saying they're going to beat Denver. I don't know. But, like, a team like New Orleans, not terribly experienced, never really been there before. I mean, I want to see it.
LeBron and AD are too good to ever make you truly count out what they can do. You can doubt their availability. You can doubt that they'll be around enough together to ever fully manifest what they're capable of together. But the talent together, you can never fully count that out.
Yeah, the real irony, we'll learn more about this as it gets closer to February. There are still teams that will fall a little further out of contention that aren't sellers yet that might become sellers at some point. But right now, it is a really thin market. How this shakes out, the ultimate irony would be if the Lakers, I guess, could have made a deal before the season started, didn't. And then there's just flat out not a deal to make when it comes time to make that trade. So we'll see what happens there.
That was among the many reasons that I said before the season, do the Heald-Turner deal if it's really there, because there's no guarantee it's going to be there mid-season, and I don't think you're going to do any better than it anyway.
And who knows? Maybe something else pops up. That's certainly what they were hoping. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show and participate in the community of fans that is really driving that page, and we really appreciate it. We'll see what happens with the Lakers on Friday. Hopefully Andy's lights come back on.
They better be.
So we can watch that game.
Forget that, man. We're going to have to end up like cooking everything in our refrigerator and our freezer and then like drop it in coolers or something like
buffet.
That.
Buffet. Sounds like a buffet day at Andy's house.
Oh my God.
It's going to be delicious.
It's going to be a nightmare, man.
All right. We'll see everybody next time.